Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Outsmarting Infertility Podcast. When diagnosed with infertility, I think the easiest way to go about it is when a patient has an actual diagnosis of what is causing the infertility. An often frustrating diagnosis that I see more and more nowadays is what's called unexplained infertility or idiopathic infertility, which basically refers to that the cause of the issue or the health condition is unknown. So that's what the idiopathic refers to here. So when we see patients, particularly patients with poor sperm parameters, they'll often have baseline testing done for certain hormones. They might have an ultrasound for the gonads. They might have some basic blood work done. And sometimes that comes back with an organic condition. So we're actually able to identify the poor sperm count, poor motility, or infertility might be related to a thyroid disorder or high prolactin or low testosterone levels. And there's a variety of conditions that are screened, but oftentimes patients go through this testing only to find out that there's no identifiable cause for the infertility or the poor sperm count. So I think there's two ways to look at this. Either we did the tests and there's no way to figure out what's going on, or the wrong tests were run. And we're seeing in newer research that there are more advanced sperm function tests now available for research purposes, but not necessarily for clinical purposes for patients that are looking to go to a mainstream lab and have these types of tests done. One such test that we're seeing that is of particular value over and over in multiple research papers over the last few years is a test for oxidative stress in the sperm or the seminal fluid. And while this isn't something that can be tested for every patient, it's something very important to address and may not necessarily require these advanced sperm function tests to address increased oxidative stress that might be an underlying or root cause for a lot of patients that have idiopathic sperm factor infertility. So where we can't figure out what the cause of the low sperm count, the low sperm concentration is. And there are certain tests that can be done in mainstream labs that themselves don't check for oxidative stress, but are very closely correlated to oxidative stress. One such test is sperm motility. So we know sperm motility is one of the closest variables when it comes to oxidative stress. So if increased sperm motility is observed, oxidative stress levels in the seminal fluid tend to be lower, and vice versa. So if we see that sperm motility levels are lower, oxidative stress levels, we can assume or presume that are going to be higher, unfortunately. And that increased oxidative stress isn't just harmful for sperm count and motility, but also for the DNA integrity of the sperm cells, which we're seeing is a whole different conversation, but has its own impact on fertility, pregnancy rates, and potentially miscarriage risk in the first trimester there. So treating this oxidative stress is quite valuable, we're seeing for more and more patients now. And a new research paper published in February of 2022 in the scientific journal Andrologia found that when they checked for about 150 patients that were given 150 patients specifically with idiopathic sperm factor infertility, so they had no idea why the sperm count and the motility was low, and all the subjects included in the study in the treatment arm actually had low sperm count and motility, they were just given an antioxidant for 6 months, particularly an enzyme, or sorry, an antioxidant called CoQ10 or coenzyme Q10. And they were given about 200 milligrams a day for 6 months. And at the 6 month follow-up, what they found was that sperm concentration, sperm motility had significantly improved for these patients. And they found the CoQ10 levels actually in the body had also increased. And more importantly, they found that at the 12 to 18 month follow-up, approximately 24.2% of those patients had conceived, which is a significant number, significantly lower, unfortunately, still compared to patients that have healthy sperm counts and motility to start with. So for example, they found the treatment group that got the coenzyme Q10, after 6 months of treatment, the sperm count and motility improved. And then the control group that had no issues with the sperm factor parameters, they were actually were able to conceive in the same time frame with a 95% success rate. So 95% of the control group was actually able to conceive. But very important to mention here was that there was an actual measurable increase in the sperm motility and the sperm concentration with something as simple as one single antioxidant. And in actual treatments, we don't really use one antioxidant and just do what's called a monotherapy. Often we want to utilize a combination of evidence-based treatment interventions, antioxidants, micronutrients, herbal compounds, which have been studied to actually support healthy sperm counts and motility. So that synergistic effect usually might infer a better clinical improvement for the patient. But nonetheless, these individual treatment trials are quite beneficial as well, because it allows us to evaluate for the impact or efficacy of a very specific compound on its own, instead of giving five ingredients in a single trial, and then we're trying to figure out which ingredient actually had the beneficial impact. So CoQ10 at that specific dose seemed to be of benefit. One of the drawbacks of this study, however, was that it was a small trial. So, you know, larger studies with more patients are always encouraged in studies like this. And also to help determine what kind of a dose is actually beneficial. What's the optimal dose? Are there more optimal doses for patients depending on what the sperm motility and sperm concentration are to start with? If we do a follow-up and the sperm count and motility haven't improved, is a higher dose even more beneficial? So these are questions that weren't answered by this study, and we look forward to the future trials and studies to help address that as well. But it still helps us to uncover a fairly important root cause for sperm factor infertility for a lot of patients, which we see in clinical practice as well. I see in clinical practice can be of significant impact for a lot of patients that have had unexplained low counts and low motility for no identifiable reason, and they're trying to improve those numbers somehow, because like this study also established, the higher the sperm concentration went, the higher the sperm motility went, they were actually more likely to be part of that 24.2% of patients that conceived and were able to get pregnant. So the higher the sperm count, the higher the sperm motility, those are positive parameters. They're positively correlated with increased risk or chance of a pregnancy. The information covered in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a replacement for medical consultation or medical advice. Please speak with your licensed healthcare provider prior to making any changes to your treatment plan and/or medications. Thank you.